Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout a big amen to Jesus. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you again this morning that we have this privilege to come before your holy presence. Thank you, Lord, because we are called to be a partaker of your glory. Lord, even as we have approached your throne of grace this morning, grant to each one of us according to our level of faith. That, Lord, none of us will leave here this morning without receiving that which you have prepared for us. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you open our hearts, that your word will find a free expression in our spirit, soul, and body. Communicate to our soul, O God. Quicken us to understand. Quicken us to rise and to live a kingdom life, a life of victory, a life of accomplishment. Lord, I thank you for everyone here today that you are set to touch them again in your glory and in your power. We saturate this place right now with the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in the house. Let yokes be broken. Let bondage be lifted up from our shoulder. Let there be a release of life, for in your presence there is liberty. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that liberty in the spirit here this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the anointing that set free the captive. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your glory here. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone say amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad this morning to be with you and to bring the word of God to you. I want to bring greetings from our church and our ministry in Malaysia and also from my wife. They send their regards to you. Because we are one in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I believe that what God is doing there is the same thing God is doing here, because we serve the same God, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I'm so grateful and thankful to God for the life of Pastor Paul. I must confess that you have a pastor that has the heart of God. Amen. You know, we read in the scripture, the Bible says, I have found David, my servant, a man after my own heart. And often we think that God is speaking only to David. But it's not only to David. There are men of God today that God is saying, they are my servants after my heart. And I must appreciate God for the life of Pastor Paul. The Lord bless you, sir. Amen. You have a heart for God, and the Lord says, I am highly pleased with your heart. You see, in a church, sometimes we must understand the heart of our pastor. Amen. If you can understand the heart of your pastor, you will receive more of the grace of God that God has placed in him. And I must confess that since I met him, I have seen that spirit of God fresh in his spirit, fresh in his heart. He's a man after the heart of God. Amen, someone. And when you are in a place like this, under such leadership, I must encourage you to remain connected. Because too often we get used to him that we don't see the grace, the amount of grace and favor he has with God. And if you can see that and get yourself connected, plugged with him, you will always remain blessed in the presence of God. Amen? I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And I want to thank you again for your relationship, your open heart, and allowing me to share in your ministry. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. Can we say a big amen to that? Come on, let's give him a big clap offering. Let's clap for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you are around with men like this, I tell you, there is always life. There is always freshness. You are always being encouraged because you can see the life of Christ in expression, in reality in them. Hallelujah. And I'm also thankful to God, you know, for Pastor Jeff and Liz for lodging me, for, you know, they have really taken good care of me. I have been well blessed and well fed and well loved and well cared for. Come on, let's clap for Jeff and Liz. It's always good when we are able to see what God is doing and able to open up our houses sometimes to receive men of God. And when we do that, we receive the grace of God that flows through them. And, you know, I just told Jeff the last time, I said, I'm coming, and I'd like to stay in your place. And he said, well, you are welcome. Amen. And when I came in, I can see the love of Christ in the house. It's very important that as ministers or as Christians, we allow our house to be a place where the love of Christ can dwell. And I see that love of Christ in their house with him and Liz. I can see the presence of God daily and night in the house because they allow Jesus to be the centerpiece of their house. Hallelujah. And I want to thank them again for really allowing me to stay with them all the time I'm here in Crawley. I really bless God for your life, and God continue to perfect his good will in your life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The last time I came, I bring few of my books, but today I bring almost all the books so that every one of us here can have access. Because some people ask me, they say, can we buy online and things like that? And, you know, the hassle of, you know, packaging and posting and things like that. So I made every effort to bring some of the books because I believe that the books you read can define your destiny. You know, as a Christian, there are two things that are very important in our walk with the Lord. One is the friends you keep. Because your friends can influence you for good or for bad. Amen? We all have friends, but it is important for us to understand the power of influence that we receive from our friends or we influence to our friends. And the second thing is the type of books we read. Because the books you read can increase your faith or cause you to depart from faith. Amen? So I believe I'm a reader of anointed books because there are certain inspiration you receive from anointed books that can help you to rise up in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shared with a testimony with us some time ago that one of our books, you know, people read it and they were, you know, miraculously baptized in the Holy Spirit without anyone praying for them. They just read it and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And lately the Lord has been speaking to me about the ministry of encouragement, the ministry of encouragement and the force of courage. And so we have a book, four books there and CDs. Each of the book is going for £10. But if you can buy four at a go, we can give you £30 for four books. Now we have a book called The Understanding, the Realm of the Supernatural. You know, many a times we don't realize that Christianity is not only what we see in the physical, but much of it is done in the realm of the supernatural. And if you can understand the realm of the supernatural, I tell you the truth, your prayers and your spiritual life will be so strong that you manifest daily the glory of God. And so we have that book there. And also we have another one called Activating the Anointing, How to Release the Power of God in you and through you. Amen. I know that somebody will be blessed as you read it in the mighty name of Jesus. And we have another one called The Force of Faith. Because faith is a force. When you embrace the force of faith, all things are possible. The Bible says with faith, all things are possible. And without faith, you can't please God. And many a time we see some of us as Christians, some say they have faith. But when you look into their life and character, what they have is fake. F-A-K-E. So there is a difference between faith and fake. And there is a difference between faith and faith. And so in this book, it will help you to understand the force behind faith and to know whether you are really operating in faith or in fake. Hallelujah. And the latest book, which is really moving powerfully all over, wherever I go, I was in the U.S. and I was in South Africa, and I haven't gone to Australia yet, but I tell you, this book now, the latest one is called The Force of Courage. You know, I believe that every dreams and vision that God has given you can be fulfilled when you understand the force of courage. Many of us have goals, many of us have dreams, many of us have visions of what we want to do for God. But the force of courage is not there for us to see through our goals and visions in life. Some of us have faith. But you see, faith is like seeing something, visualizing or seeing what God has said concerning your life. But the force of courage is the force that brings you into your dreams in life. You can have a dream, but you can't get to the dream. But when you understand the force of courage, it brings you into that thing you have dreamed of, that thing you have prayed of, that thing you have said, Lord, when will this be? So I pray that, you know, as you lay hold on it, you will be blessed in the name of Jesus. This is it. It's called the force of courage. And I have received commentaries from people that have read it, and they say, man, it is something that I need to buy for my friends and some of my unbeliever friends. Hallelujah. I know sometimes we need to buy books, you know, to give to our unbeliever friends. Sometimes they don't come to church, but you can have this as an Easter gift to them. Hallelujah. I told my members, I told them that the best gift is to give somebody a gift that can renew his life. I had a friend, a lady that in our church, the husband suffered from depression for almost 15 years at the point of dying, and he bought one of our books and gave to the man. Right that same day, he was in chapter 1, and he got delivered from depression. Nobody prayed for him. He got delivered from depression. And I believe that all of our resources, they are filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because as you read, you see the Holy Ghost moving through you in the book. Hallelujah. So they are all available for you this morning. And I pray that you will get it, not for yourself only, but for someone that is not here today. Give it to somebody as an Easter gift, and the Lord will honor you. Amen. You know, sometimes we buy, newspaper, we buy groceries. These are things we use daily. But sometimes when it comes to buying books, we say, no, I don't need it. I'm not a good reader. I don't like reading. But we fail to realize that sometimes your breakthroughs are in some books that you need to read. The miracle, the prayer, you are saying, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, how can this happen? They are somewhere waiting for you. Amen. They are somewhere waiting for you. A friend of mine lost a contract. He was at a point, where he tendered a contract for a petroleum project, and he lost it, and he was discouraged. He was wondering, and he had a book that he, I wrote one of my book in his house. One night, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, why are you worrying? Why are you complaining? There is a miracle under your bed. And what was the miracle? It was the book. The day he read that book, within 1 week, the contract was reawarded to him again. So sometimes you don't need to wait until the man of God come and pray for you. The grace is in the book. The grace is also here this morning. And I pray that the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I was planning to share something in regard with this book because the Lord has been speaking to me about courage. We need to be a church of courage. We need to be an encouraging people, an encouraging believer. It's not just about coming to church and after the service you go, but there is a need for us to be a house of encouragement that we can encourage and build up the faith of each other. Those who are here and those who are not here, we can learn how to encourage each other and boost our faith together for the glory of God. Hallelujah. This morning, I'd like to be preaching on what I titled, Come Up Here. Tell somebody, say, come up here. Say, come up here. You see, in your life, there is a position where you are right now that God is saying that is not enough for you. There is a place or there is a state where you are in your spiritual walk, in your business life, in your family life, and you are comfortable. You are just saying, it's enough, I'm okay. But God is saying, that's not enough. You need to come up here for you to see my glory and my presence. Hallelujah. You see, until you understand the purpose why God is saying, come up here, you may remain in the same spot without experiencing the fullness of God's purpose and God's destiny for your life. Let's turn quickly to this place in Revelation chapter 4. I believe that we need to operate in the glory of God. We need to understand that when we operate in courage, in power, in authority, we will experience all that God has called us to experience on this earth. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4. If you have Revelation in your Bible, say a big hallelujah. And if you don't have it, say a big amen. We've got to get you a new Bible that has Revelation in it. Hallelujah. There is a need for us to understand that without courage, you can't fulfill the purpose of God for your life on this earth. If you are not an encouraging believer, you may be a discouraging believer. But God wants you to be an encouraging believer. Because when you are an encouraging believer, it becomes easy for you to function in your giftings. It becomes easy for you to become part and parcel of the kingdom of God on earth. In Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says, are you there with me? Right, from verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here. Somebody say, come up here. Somebody say, come up here. And I will show you the things which must be after this. And immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set up in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat was looked upon like a jasper, like a setting stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Praise the Lord. Bless the name of Jesus. Now let's flip backward, go to Revelation chapter 1. Are you there? All right, let's start to read from verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. And behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall well be because of him, even so. Amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, and Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and champion in tribulation, in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Sinema, and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed in raiment, in garment, down to the foot, girt about perhaps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet unto like brass, and as if he burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as sun shineth his strength in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Blessed be God. Lord, I thank you again for your word that we have read this morning. Lord, use this word to encourage your church. Lord, use this word to edify your church. Use this word, O Lord, to give us healing, hope, and restoration. Cause us, O Father, to awake, to arise, and to live to the fullness of your plan and purpose for our destiny. We give you glory, we give you honor, and in Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Now, we read earlier on in chapter 4 of Revelation, and before we read chapter 4, if you start from chapter 1, you saw that one of the experiences that John had was the experience of the glory of God. Although he went through trials, he went through tribulation, he went through sufferings, he went through all sorts of things, at the same time, he was able to see the glory of God. I believe that when you go through all sorts of trials in your life, all sorts of challenge in your life, God is saying, don't allow the challenges you are going through to blind you not to see the glory of God. In the midst of trial, in the midst of affliction, in the midst of pain, tribulation, suffering, imprisonment, John was able to see the glory of God. He said, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. Sense of God, we need to understand that whatever we do, we should always remain in the Spirit. Not just to be in the Spirit, but to understand the heartbeat of God at any given point in time in our life. Hallelujah. While in island of ours, the Bible says, you know, he went through trials, he went through persecution, but at the same time, he saw the glory of God. And the glory of God encouraged John in the island of Patmos. What am I saying this morning? That it is very important that as we live our life, we must fix our eyes on the glory of God. Because when you see the glory of God, it brings encouragement. When you see the glory of God, it renews your strength. When you see the glory of God, it gives you the zeal to press forward to what God has called you to do in your society, in your locality, even in the house of God, which is the church of Jesus Christ. So while John was suffering and going through trials, what encouraged him the most was the glory. He said, I saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. And he said, sense of God, after John saw the glory of God, something happened. Because every time you read the scripture, you must understand the sequence of events that took place. God allowed John to saw the glory before God will show John the situation of the church. You see, many of us, sometimes we come to church because we have not seen the glory of God. That's the reason why we don't encourage one another. That's the reason why some of us, because maybe your pet is sick at home, your dog is sick, your cat is sick, you say, I'm not coming to church. I'd rather take care of my cat than to come to church and glorify the King of Kings. Because you've not seen the glory of God. Because you're not in the Spirit. But when you are in the Spirit, no matter what happens at home, your eyes is fixed upon Jesus Christ. No matter the circumstances, the economic crisis, your eyes is fixed on what Christ will do for you and what Christ has already done for you. John, going through trials, persecution, challenges, he was in the Spirit. He wasn't in the flesh. He was not distracted by challenges. He was not distracted by the burning, you know. We understood by history that he was placed inside a boiling pot. Hallelujah. He was placed inside a boiling pot. But those things did not distract Paul. John. John persevered and pressed on and pressed on. And subsequently, he saw the glory of God. And then the voice said to him, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and I am the last. That means I know where you are coming from. I know where you're going to. Don't be discouraged. Don't allow the present to discourage you from facing the future. Don't allow where you are now to stop you. Don't be so satisfied where you are now that you refuse to move with my glory. So the Lord said to him, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first. I am the end. I am everything you can ever ask or imagine. John, don't give up. He was in the Spirit. And as he was about to recover from that experience, he saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. He saw the elders of heaven worshiping, bowing down before God, glorifying God. That increased his passion to go through the challenge. He knew that if I can see his glory, I will go through it successfully. He saw the elders bowing down, worshiping God, giving God all the glory, all the adoration, all the honor. You see, it's very important in the church for us to see what God is doing. If you don't see what God is doing, it will not be easy for you to be encouraged. No matter what the pastor preach, no matter what the people say, you always be troubled by your circumstances, by your problem, what is happening at home, you know, in the office, wherever you are troubled, you are worried. Come to church. You say, I'm not coming today. You know, I have this, I have that, because your eyes are still fixed in your trials. But Jesus is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first. Before you got there, I was here already. And where you are going, I have been there before. So I will lead you through. But fix your eyes upon me and see what I'm going to accomplish in your life. That wasn't the end of it. And the Bible tells us that as John was still in the spirit, after he saw the glory of God and saw heaven open and elders worshiping, then he received a message regarding the seven churches. It wasn't a pleasant message. We all know the story of the seven churches. He saw the sad situation of the seven churches. That was enough to discourage him. I've seen people who say, oh, you know, that church, that pastor, I don't want to go to church. I'd rather stay at home and pray than to go to church. That's not true. It's a lie of the devil. You say, you know, that church, the music is different. I'm not going to church. I want to pray at home. I want to, you know, go to church on internet. It's a lie. God allowed John to see the glory, and then subsequently he saw the sad situation of the church. Some were living in sin, some were poor, some were going through trials, some were weak, some couldn't function well, some were, you know, love God, and some of them, their love has waxed cold. He saw all these things, not one, but the seven church. Seven is a perfect number. But in the midst of the seven perfection, there was imperfection. That could have discouraged John. That could have made him to say, oh, my, it's a wasted time. I have wasted my time serving God, praising God. But he was encouraged. Then in chapter 4, the Bible tells us, as he saw the state of the church in chapter 3, coming to chapter 4, then the Lord said to him, come up here, and I will show you things. Come on, let's turn there, chapter 4. You see, if you don't understand what God is saying regarding your church, regarding your life, each time you come to church, each time you go around, you always be discouraged. But God is saying, come up here. Why is God saying, come up here? Because when you come up, you see your problems become smaller in your sight. Are you with me? He saw the glory. He saw the beauty of God because he was in the spirit. But that wasn't the end of the matter. After that, he saw the church in problem, in trials, in persecution, in all kinds of things. He could have said, oh, such a big problem. Where to start and where to end? But in the midst of that, God did not stop with him. The Lord said to him, after this, I looked. Tell somebody, look. Say, look up. He said, and I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. Every time there are challenges around your life, God is saying, look up. There is an open door for you. Look up. Your help is coming. Look up. There is a release coming for you. Look up. There is a release coming for you. He looked up. His eyes was not upon the church anymore. But his eyes was upon God. Amen. Too often we place our eyes on our present need, our present condition, our present challenges. And God is saying, look up. There is an open door for you there. There is an open heaven for you. Look up, look up. You say, no. Can't you see this? Can't you see that? Can't you see this? Can't you, you know, my child, my son, my daughter, the dog, the whatever. You just mentioned them. God is saying, look up. Thank God for John. He understood the principle of God. The Bible says he looked up, and behold, there was an open heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here. come up here. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Come up. I won't let you go through it again. Come up. I want to do something in your life. Come up. I want to release you. Come up. I want to bless you. Come up. I want to launch you into a greater dimension of my blessing. Come up here. Blessed be God. Now, you must understand, one of the reasons why God said to John, come up, was to make John to see those problems as nothing. You know that when you are in the plane, you don't see anything. Are you correct? When you fly higher, the higher the altitude, the smaller the earth becomes. The higher the altitude, it comes to a point in time, you don't see anything again. What do you see? You just see the cloud. But the lower you descend, the more things become bigger and bigger and bigger it gets. That's why God said to John, come up. The higher you come, the smaller the problem. The higher you come with me, the smaller you see the problems. That's why we should not be comfortable in our comfort zone. You say, because I prayed yesterday, that's enough. Because, I came to church yesterday and worshiped, that's enough. And God is saying, it's not enough. You can come up. There is room for you to come up. Tell somebody, say, come up. There is room for you to come up. Amen? There is room for you up there. He tells John, he said, come up. I will show you things that is to come. That means what you've seen is not enough. I have much more to show you that is better than what you've seen in the past. One of the greatest deceptions of the devil is to make believers to believe that what we've seen before is better than what is ahead of us. And so some of us get stuck in one place. You say, no, that's all I can do. Praying and doing this, I can't do further than that. No, God is saying, come up here. The higher you come, the more you see. The higher you come in God, the more you see. And you can't know it all. Amen? I will show you things that is to come. You haven't seen anything yet, John. I want to show you things that is to come. And I believe in this church this morning, there are men and women here, God is saying to you, I want to show you things that is to come. Remove your eyes from your present challenges. Look up. There is an open door heaven for you. Look up. I want to show you my glory. Look up. I want to show you things that is to come. What do you see? Don't allow what you are seeing now to stop you from looking up. Amen? God is so real. He allowed John to see the crisis in the church. Some of us, we don't want to come to church because of one issue or another. Because someone encouraged you, because somebody called you in the morning, come to church, you get angry. Or because someone didn't greet you, you got angry. You say, I'm not coming to church anymore. That's not the way it should be. God is saying, come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's saying, come up here, come up here, come up here. Praise the Lord. And again, I believe that, when you are coming up or when you are up, it becomes easy for you to see further. Amen? When you are up, have you realized that birds, there is enough room in the sky for the birds to fly? Amen? There is enough room in the sky for the stars to shine. The stars do not collide because there is enough room in the sky. And every star, irrespective of their sizes, shines brighter every day. Amen? Every star is a star. And God is saying, don't allow what you are seeing, don't allow where you are to restrict you. Come up here. I have something glorious for you, church. Rise up, church. I have something better for you. Come up here. Amen. The story in the book of Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, it's not a good story about a church. John could have got discouraged. He could have given up. He could have said, Lord, why your church is like this? Lord, I'm not qualified to bring the message.
Lord, I'm not ready to bring the message. Look at my condition. But God is saying to him, you've seen my glory. Come up, John. Come up, John. The glory of yesterday is not enough for today. Come up. I want to take you higher. And I want to show you things to come. Sometimes we see believers who argue over issues or who don't have faith because they refuse to come up. Because when you don't come up, you don't see. Amen? When you come out from your house, you can see as far as you can see. But when you go up, you begin to see further. You can see up to 1 mile, up to 2 miles, depending on the higher you go. Amen, somebody. Depending on the higher you go, the higher you go, the further you see. And the further you see, you can tell someone and say, hey, brother, I saw something ahead. He will say, no, I don't believe it, because he hasn't climbed up to see. And God is not saying to one person, God is saying to every one of us, come up so that we can see what the pastor is seeing. We can see where the church is going. We can see what God is doing in the church. We can see what is the plan and purpose of God for our life, for today and for tomorrow. He said, come up. Amen? That encouraged John. He was so encouraged that he kept on looking, that he kept on moving forward. I want to see more. The more he see, the more God says, you haven't seen anything yet. I want to show you more. Come up, come up, come up, come up. Tell somebody, say, come up. Don't remain where you are. Don't say, you know, I know it's all. You know, we have prayed, we have fasted. No, God is saying, come up. I want to show you things that is to come. Come up. I want to show you where I'm leading you. Come up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. God is saying something to someone here. He's saying, come up. You see, if every one of us can make a decision to come up, I tell you, it will become very easy for us to operate as one body in Christ. It will become very easy because what you see, I see. But if I'm coming up, going up, and you say, no, I'm not going up, I want to be here, it becomes difficult. Because when I tell you what I saw, you will say, no, I don't believe it. The pastor may say, you know, this is what I'm seeing. God is telling us to go this direction. You say, no, I'm not sure about it. Let's go this direction because I can see. But the higher you come up, the further you see. And listen, sense of God, the church is not meant to be restricted. We are supposed to see further. We are supposed to go further. We are supposed to advance. We are supposed to dominate. We can only do that when we see what God is saying, when we see what God is showing us, when we learn to come up to that height where we can stand and see the glory of God fulfilling our life. And that is your portion today, in the name of Jesus. 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 What you are seeing is very important. What you allow God to reveal to you is very important. Don't just come to church and say, well, this is it, this is that. But God is saying, come up. I want to show you more things to come. Amen. I pray that this morning the Lord will speak to your heart, even as the word of God is coming to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. 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 I've come to realize that often in the church, people that, you know, leave the church or have some problem with the church are always the people that remain in the same spot. They refuse to come up. So when they remain in the same spot, those who are ahead of them, they are behind complaining and saying, this should be done like this, this shouldn't be done like this, this should be done like this. They always complain. But when you come up, you won't have any complaint. You see, the higher John went, the easier he saw. The more he understood the heart of God. The more humble he became. The more committed he became to God. Amen, someone. The higher he moved up, the more he goes up, the more he saw what God is doing. The more his eyes open, he's seeing and he's saying, oh God, here I am. God wants to show you something. And God wants to use you. There are certain things that God cannot deliver to you until you learn to come up. You can't receive them just by praying. You can receive them only as you come up. Amen, someone. There are certain things that God wants to deliver to you. Sometimes going up might be difficult, but the moment you are up, you are just there flying. That's why, you know, when a plane is taking off, it has to use every energy, run and make noise. But the moment the plane breaks through, it just maintains position. You see the pilot, he put the plane in autopilot. He can walk around, it's moving. Sometimes that's what God wants to do in our life. He said, come up. When you come up, I will program you. You will just operate freely. No disturbance, no obstruction. But you are saying, no, let me be here. Do you know that it is easy and faster to fly than to drive? Hello, someone, are you with me? Because when you are driving, you have to avoid, you know, the humps, the traffic lights, the traffic police, the cameras. But when you are up there, there is no camera and no traffic police. Amen, somebody. You know when you are going, you know when you will arrive. But you can't tell somebody maybe around 1 p.m. that you are going to London, you arrive in 30 minutes, you get in, because you don't know what to expect on the road. You see, our spiritual life, some of us are like that. God is saying, come up. You are saying, no, I want to go it this way. God is saying, no, it's not good for you. Come up. You say, no, let me drive. And God is saying, there is traffic there. You will meet a traffic police, and if care is not taken, you receive summons. He said, come up. He said, no, God, I'm too lazy to come up. Let the pastor go up first and get there before us. Let me drive. And by the time you got there, you are completely exhausted. You can't pray anymore. You become so weak and tired. Brother, what happened to you? Oh, my family, my children, my house, my dog, my pets, this and that. I'm so tired. I'm so frustrated. Oh, just pray for me. Just pray for me. That's not your will. That's not what God wills for you. He wants you to come up where you can operate freely, where you can see his glory and become what he has called you to be. Amen, someone. He says to John, he said, come up. John, you've been going through all these things, all these challenges, persecution, trials. When you come up, I will show you things to come. Amen. And along the line, remember, along the line in Revelation, he saw a new heaven where there is no more sickness, no pain, no death, no crisis. Because he went up. The higher he went up, the more he see. But if you remain in one spot, the same prayer, the same way, the same method, the same process, God is saying, no, come up. Tell somebody, say, come up. Amen? Tell somebody this morning, say, come up. And you know, the good thing is that every one of us have the ability to come up. It doesn't matter. You can't say to yourself, I'm just a new Christian. You know, I can't speak in tongue. It doesn't matter. We all have the same grace to come up. Because God is the one saying, come up. And if God says it, he will empower you to come up. You need to be willing to say, Lord, I am ready. Lord, I make myself available. Here I am, Lord. Bring me up to your glory. Here I am, Lord. Reveal more of yourself to me. Amen? He wants us to come up. He wants to show us things to come. There are situations in your life that you don't need prayer. You just need God, show me what to do, and I will do it in the right way. May God give us understanding to this in Jesus' name. And in chapter 5 of the same book of Revelation, now, he went on to tell us in chapter 5, he said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth
neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereof. So I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Praise the Lord. You see, the higher you come up in Christ, the more assistance you receive from God. We all need God's help. We all need God to guide us. We all need God to assist us in certain issues in our life, in our decision making. But we can't experience that until we fix our eyes up to see what God is showing us and to be able to rise up to become what God has called us to be in life. The higher John went, the more he saw. And as he see, God said to him, well, you can see this, you can see. And then he saw a book. The book was sealed and he was, you know, trying to weep and cry. But the angel said to him, you don't have to weep, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. He has prevailed. Now, if John did not go up, he might continue crying and crying. Like some people, they are crying, Lord, why is this happening? Lord, why don't you do this? And God is saying, I am ready. I have prevailed. I have opened the book already. Can't you see it? Can't you see the book is open? What are you still doing? The book is open. Can't you see it? But this cannot happen or fulfill in our lives until we make a decision to come up. When you come up, God says, now you are ready to see. Now you are ready for my glory. And I will clothe you and crown you in glory and in my beauty. Hallelujah. 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 It's very important for us to understand that without faith and without courage, no matter how fervent you pray, no matter how it seems like you are dedicated or devoted, your prayers, your commitment will amount to nothing. God requires us to have the courage and the boldness to come up. Because when you come up, he will show you things to come. And when he shows you things to come, he makes everything available for you to get there where he has called you to get to. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let's read this place quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Have you found it? Say amen. If you are not there, say hallelujah. Amen. and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Amen. We are raised to be seated in that higher place where Christ is. When you are not operating in that level, you will see everything as a big problem to you. But when you rise up to that level, you begin to see mountains as nothing. Hallelujah, somebody. Do you realize that when you are in the air, you see human beings like ants? Praise the Lord. Even the biggest mountain becomes nothing before you. But the lower you come down, the lower you descend, the bigger they become. Spiritually, that is very important for us to know that the higher you get into God, the smaller you see your problems. The higher you get into him, the smaller situation, problems, trials, whatever you can mention, the smaller they become to you. That's why the Bible says you can look at this mountain and say, mountain, be removed, and mountain will be removed. You can speak to the sea, dry up, and the sea will dry up. Because you are no more looking at the sea, but you are looking at the greatness of God. You are no longer at the same level with the mountain. You are above the mountain. Hallelujah, someone. This is done by faith. We must come up for us to be able to exercise our faith in Christ. Turn to somebody and say, God is calling you. It's time for you to rise up to fulfill purpose and destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. When you come up, you see things small. I always tell people, you know, who say, you know, how do I do this? How do I make this? I say, no, it is easy if you can learn how to come up in Christ. Through prayer, through praise, through commitment. The higher you go, the smaller you see things. Amen. Last year, I remember I went to Australia. I had a friend of mine. He told me, you know, he has a broadcasting channel in Australia. And during the recession, he lost in 1 month, he lost 60 million Aussie dollar. And he was, you know, he was complaining about to give up. I said, 60 million in the sight of God is like 1 cent or 1 pence. If you can come up, you will see them as a small thing. But if you remain in the same level, it becomes big to you. And the bigger it becomes, the more depressed you will get. Amen? He said, pray for me. I said, I won't pray for you until you learn to come up. When you come up in Christ, then your mountain becomes nothing before you. You can walk upon the sea when you come up. You can bind and break every bondage when you come up. Hallelujah, somebody. He was at a point of depression. He was calling every jack and had everyone, but there was no solution. I said, brother, come up. He was so reluctant in his house, you know. In the morning, he would first of all spend 3 hours with his, you know, he has a little pet dog before he come to church. If the dog said to him, don't go to church today, he will not go. That was the type of life he was living. But when he lost that 60 million, his eyes opened. He said, hey, pet, get away from here. Get away, get somewhere. I'm losing my life, I'm losing my company, I'm losing everything. His eyes opened. Now he's seeking God with all his heart. Wherever he's seeking God, he's a man of God, lay hand upon me. I say, I can't just lay hand and miracle will happen. Come up. Draw closer to him with a renewed heart. Amen, someone. Draw closer. And the more he was so desperate, I said, you can't be desperate like God. Just take it easy and come up, come up. Until you come up, your eyes is still fixed in these problems. Praise the name of Jesus. And by the grace of God, we pray for him and, you know, continue to pray for him and continue to pray for him. You know, his desperation and everything, from desperation, it becomes faith. And gradually, you know, God turned things around for him and he was restored again. And ever since then, he's a changed man today. Amen? He's a changed, completely changed man. He was restored. He, you know, things changed again for good, and people who own him and things like that came back for good. Why? He learned to come up to the level where God wants him to be. Praise the Lord. There is no mountain that is above God. There is no sea that is deeper than him. He is the deepest of all, the highest of all. And he's saying to you, my son, my daughter, come up. Draw closer to me. Amen, someone. Draw closer to me. Draw closer to me. I had another friend of mine. His car is his God. He must drive the car to the church. The day the car is not, you know, has some minor problem, he won't come to church. What's the reason? My car. I didn't polish my car today, so I can't come to church. If I polish it, you know, I will be able to come. But God dealt with him. And he learned to come up. Beloved, don't wait until God said to you, what are you seeing? God is saying to you, come up, draw closer to me. I want to reveal more of myself to you. I want to show you more of my glory. Remember, we are called to live in the glory of God. We are called to be a vessel of glory. We are called to be a habitation of God's glory. And we can't do this until we learn to come up to his level where he wants us to be in Christ. Hallelujah. 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 What do you see? Are you seeing what God is showing you? Or are you seeing your own self? Amen?
What you see is very important. And don't allow what you are seeing now to distract you from the glory of God. Romans 8:18 tells us, it says, the glory that is to be revealed cannot be reckoned with anything you've seen in the past. God wants to reveal more things to you. The more you come to him, the more he reveals himself to you. Hallelujah. If you read the book of Ruth, you realize that the book of Ruth started with famine, with lack, with crisis, debt. You know, it started with famine, from famine to debt, and all kinds of things. But the good news is that the book of Ruth ended with joy, with abundance, with feast. That means that God is saying to you, you may begin somewhere negatively, but if you can embrace me closer, I will bring you to a place of honor, a place of divine fulfillment. Amen? The book of Ruth began with sad news, famine, all kinds of things. It was as if that God is no more with them. But he is a good God. He knows where he's bringing you to. God can't say to you, come up, come closer to me without having a purpose for you. He has a plan in store for you. Amen? He has a divine plan in store. Just come closer to him. Ruth, Naomi, they journeyed, and eventually at the end of the book of Ruth, we saw restoration. We saw abundance. We saw celebration taking place. That's what it should be. When we understand the plan and purpose of God, we make up our mind courageously to come closer, to come closer, to come closer. Behind the door is a glory waiting for somebody to receive. And God wants to crown you in glory. He 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 wants to crown you in glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. One of the reasons why many of us are afraid to reach out in faith, some of us, God is asking you to do something, but you are counting in your mind or in your head, if I do this, what will happen? If I don't do that, what will happen? Simply because you've not learned to come up to him. Amen? How about Moses? The Bible tells us that when Moses, before Moses confronted Pharaoh, he had an encounter with God. God gave him a rod. It looks like nothing. But that was what God gave to him when he came up to God in the burning bush. There is something God wants to give you that can be a source of deliverance in your hand. Amen? He's not saying come up in vain. There is something God wants to release into your hand that will become a source of deliverance, a source of blessing in your life. John came up and God transformed the life of John. He saw the glory of God. He saw things that is to come because he obeyed and came forward to God. Moses, the same thing. In the burning bush, the voice said, come closer. Come. And he came forward. He removed his shoe. He knew where he was. Despite the fact that he was a fugitive running away, but God said, come close to me. Don't run away from me. Many a times we run away from God. Because of our challenges, we withdraw from God. Maybe because you have done something wrong, you withdraw from God. You don't want to come to church again. Look around. Some of your friends who are not here today, they will give you different kinds of reasons why they are not here. But there is someone here this morning that came all the way from airport. He's here with us in the service. That's commitment. You can't fly 14 hours and yet you drive from airport to the church. That's dedication. Some people will say, I need my rest. I need to sleep. I need to have some rest. God is saying, come closer to me and I will give you rest. Don't run away from me. When you withdraw from me, you have no rest. Draw nearer to him. Come further to him. The nearer we come, the more we see the glory of God. Moses came closer to God. And God said to him, what do you have? He said, I have a rod, just a staff. And the Lord said to Moses, with this staff, you will do signs and wonders. Because he came closer to God. Amen? Opportunities abound before us. At the same time, our decisions that we make is very important. Someone could have said, well, since I'm coming from, you know, far away, 14 hours or 15 hours of flight, whatever, I want to go and sleep. But decision, I'm coming to honor God. I want to give God my time. I want to come and exalt the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords. I just want to come and be in his presence. Hallelujah. You see, how you take God determines how the world will take you. How you view him determines how the world around you will view you. If you are committed, God will be committed to you. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright morning star. And I believe this morning, church, that God is saying to someone, come closer to me. I want to give you rest. Come closer to me. I want to reveal more of myself to you. Amen? Draw closer. Draw closer. The closer we come to God, the more we see the heartbeat of the Father. The further we go away from him, the more we become more stiff-necked to ourselves. Amen? Romans chapter 8 tells us again, he says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is it trials? Is it persecution? Is it challenges? In fact, in this nation, you don't have persecution. Some of us, it's just minor things, minor issues that makes you not to give your heart to God. That makes you, some of us have,